Hi, everybody.
Thanks to Joan. Thanks to Don for working sound. And also thanks to my Aunt Nancy, who drove in from Columbus to see me. So I'm going to start with some poems from my first book. It's available over that way. Downriver. All of the iron gates to the little steel piers jutting out onto the river have been locked up. The train tracks run along here and split, becoming something of the city's complex. Walking here, I saw a man standing under the blowing outside vent of the local laundromat. Someone walking down an alley in the left tire track cars made in the snow. There was a poster taped to a streetlight with a photo of a dog reading Answers to Thunder. And a girl I saw through a screen door changing her shirt in her kitchen. 6 o'clock's coming on. Nothing like I remember it. Another train whistle far off. Time to turn around. Saying something. I told her thank you, and she asked me not to. But I wanted to tell her something, even if I didn't know what exactly. I wanted to tell her how she made Pittsburgh something to return to when I had left the city. How she made me want to come back here. But I didn't tell her that. I could tell that she didn't want me to. I tried. I said, I was coming back on the bus. And she interrupted me, and I gave up. What can I say, I thought. All falls short. She said, you can say you're glad. And I thought, but that's not it exactly. It's something else, something different. You're drunk, she said. And she was right, I was drunk. But I knew this was a problem I was having sober, too. She said that the silences mean more to her, and that made some sense to me. Okay, I said, still wanting to say something. Just say goodnight and that you'll see me tomorrow, she said. Okay, I said, goodnight. I said, I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. Thanks. All right, this is a shorty. It's called As He's Driving. As he's driving, my friend yells, love fades out his window at a couple walking hand in hand. Thanks. Desire. Somehow it became evening. There was a book on the table and it was called The Attentive Brain. Nearby they were destroying the local hospital. And someone in the next house over was singing, I would do anything. I would do anything. The radio said there was a crisis somewhere. And I realized that I couldn't say anything because I had already said everything that I could possibly say to you at least once. Which got me thinking about desire. Do we always want what we can't have? I remember asking my friend once. No, he said to me. I can't have a helicopter, but I don't want one. All right, I'm going to read some newer poems. These are going to pop up in a book that Chris Collins is publishing on Logos Press. This is called The River Underneath the City. I was half drunk and exhausted, and the bar was loud with pool and jukebox noise and Saturday drunks. But I think I overheard Bob telling Moody about the fourth river, the river underneath the city, and about how the Mayans believe the point where the four rivers converge to be a portal that will take us all somewhere else later this year. Just then the jukebox inexplicably ripped into an old Dizzy Gillespie hard bop number, which seemed to confuse and bewilder a number of the people in the bar. 5 minutes into it, a woman shouted, "Does anybody know how long this song is?" I wondered how many people in the bar knew about the river underneath the city. It's strange how people can live somewhere and not even know what is under their feet. No stranger, though, than how we walk around every day and don't know those around us. It's funny how we think of each other, but how little we really know about each other. I didn't know much more than the girl's name, but I can still remember her at the cage, can see her in the booth, singing off-key along with the song she played on the jukebox, Greetings to the New Brunette. I wonder if she's still in Chicago. All right, I'm going to read two more poems. This is about the poet Hikmet. It's just called Hikmet. Tonight I am thinking of Hikmet. Over 40 years old, a poet in prison for writing poems, measuring the paces of his cell. And here I sit trying to write a good poem. It could be that good poems are only written out of darkness and despair. But Hikmet said, living is no laughing matter, and live with great seriousness, and live as if you will never die. I don't need an Ars Poetica to say that I write to remember, remind myself of the little things that happened here and there. Sometimes I curse myself for not writing more, but then I tell myself that I'm just working on material by living. My copy of Hikmet has burnt fly leaves and page edges, which leads me to believe it was rescued from a fire. Some of Hikmet's poems traveled from a prison in Turkey through fire to multiple bookstores, no doubt, to my desk. All right, last one. How I remember the night Moody and I looked for the tape of Larry Levis on Tony Hoagland's old porch. We were on our way back from a nearly heroic bout of 80s night drinking and dancing, dropping poets off here and there across town. And when we found ourselves stopped at the corner of Mifflin and Biddle, I think I shouted, "Oh, shit!" because it occurred to me that we needed to find Hoagland's house, find his porch, find that tape so we could hear Levis's voice. I'm not even sure if we stopped at the right house. But I remember you drunkenly trusting my bad judgment and following me up to the house to dig through the things someone, apparently not Hoagland, kept on their front porch. The cassette was clearly nowhere to be found, but we were clearly determined to find it. And when the somewhat frightened, somewhat angry college kid came out on his porch to confront us, all we could say was, we're in pursuit of greatness, or we're trying to find the voice of one of the masters, or have you seen Larry? I don't remember now. I do remember walking away empty-handed, but laughing at what the kid must have thought of us. At least we tried, I think I must have said to you. Yeah, you must have said to me. We'll find it someday. Thanks, everybody.